Always active and more active with us as we launched in November of 2024. Greg Giroux is definitive in the county-by-county warfare known as American politics. He's Bloomberg Government's election reporter. His blog, newsletter, whatever Substack it is like must-read as well. Greg Giroux, my basic take is you need 51% to win in this country. What did the conservatives learn combining the vote for the mayor of Chicago, progressive takes it, and also the vote for the courtship in Wisconsin where the Democrat liberal took it? What did the conservatives learn last night?
I think what the conservatives learned is that they need to stanch the bleeding they're having in well-educated, upper-income suburbs in purple states like Wisconsin, the Milwaukee suburbs specifically. There are these three counties that ring Milwaukee that kind of election nerds like me call the WOW counties, W-O-W, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington. And Waukesha County is a Republican bastion where, you know, Mitt Romney was getting two-thirds of the vote. The Republican margin there, the conservative candidate for the court yesterday only got 58%. So while Republicans are doing well in rural areas, they can't, you know, afford to have these declining margins in these well-educated suburbs that they used to have. They used to own.
Tom, we got to get Greg like some hobbies or something. His knowledge of county politics all across the country is unbelievable.
Like him, when he's with Dave Wasserman, these are the two giants of Washington. When Wasserman and Giroux are at the bar there, the octagonal bar at the Willard Hotel, people leave the room. It's that bad.
So, Greg, tell us how important this Wisconsin judicial situation was. Just kind of explain what happened and why it's important.
It's important because the Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven members, and going into this election, you had four conservatives and three liberals or progressives. A conservative retired, and so being replaced by a liberal gives that wing the advantage, the ideological advantage on the state Supreme Court, which could decide issues, weighty issues like abortion rights and, you know, gerrymandering of state legislative districts and other matters. So it has more immediate implications for Wisconsin politics and policy. And because it's a spring statewide election in a state like Wisconsin, which is a quintessential swing state, people are going to be kind of looking to see if there's any sort of canary in the coal mine effects for future elections.
To the other side, Greg, in Chicago, which I think we can all agree has been tragically challenged in people moving to Florida, we don't need to go over it right now. But what was the shade or nuance of liberal or progressive of this progressive winner for mayor? Are they distant from the far liberal of before or not?
I think Brandon Johnson, the mayor-elect, is probably more the kind of the progressive wing, whereas Paul Vallisnero, a loser, was kind of more from the cut from the moderate cloth of the Democratic Party. You know, definitely a generational change there in Chicago with Brandon Johnson winning, you know, just 47, and, you know, but that, as you noted, just some intractable problems there in Chicago with crime, with fiscal matters, with schools, and it's going to be a very, very difficult challenge for the new mayor.
Do the police get active in an election where it's a progressive versus a progressive?
You had some police unions backing Paul Vallis, who lost the race, and then you had kind of public sector unions backing, you know, Brandon Johnson. He was kind of seen more as the, you know, maybe, I don't know, if, like the less pro-police candidate. That's not probably the best way to put it. But he, you know, he tried to back away, I think, from some of the so-called defund the police statements that have been associated with kind of the far left.
What is your next focus?
Next focus is probably going to be, you know, what does, I'm looking still pretty closely at Wisconsin and the unfolding 2024 elections there. We always seem to have special elections that pop up between now and, you know, the November 2024 election. So going to keep an eye out for stuff.
Yeah, we're having one here, Paul. It's whether I'm going to be on air tomorrow.
Exactly. Greg, we had some theater here in Lower Manhattan yesterday. How do you think... is there a consensus brewing in Washington about how this might play out with the former president and the response from the Democrats and Republicans? I mean, it's still very early innings, but boy, it kicked off yesterday here in New York.
Yeah, really early. I think it may fester for some time. We'll have to see what the other investigations, if they bear any fruit and if they kind of supersede what happened yesterday in New York. You know, maybe there is kind of a rally around the leader effect for Donald Trump's kind of closest knit supporters, but I don't really see how it helps him in the long term. You have to win elections by addition, not subtraction.
Hey, Greg, I just saw in Morning Joe in their last hour, they had up a polling of Chicago, and 57% of the polling was fix crime and fix the criminal justice system. Is that going to be a national topic November of 2024?
Yeah, I think it very well may be. I think we have these discussions about, you know, policing, the proper role of it, and how do you mix kind of anti-crime strategies with overhauling the criminal justice system. And actually, criminal justice reforms is kind of one issue where there might be some opportunities for bipartisan agreement. So I think it'll be an issue, maybe not the top two or three. That's always going to be the economy, the inflation, and jobs. But I think it'll very much be part of the conversation.
Greg Giroux, thank you so much for the brief. Really, really appreciate it.